First reading tonight is taken from the Song of Songs. It will be chapter 8 and reading from verse 6. So Song of Songs, chapter 8, reading from verse 6, to be found on page 683 of the Pew Bibles. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love, rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. This can be found on page 1003 in the Pew Bibles. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus and, after digging through it, lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let's just pray. May the words of my lips and the thoughts in all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you cannot preach like Peter and you cannot pray like Paul, you just tell of the love of Jesus, how he died to save us all. Well, the title of my talk this evening is The Healing Power of Love, because I believe it's something that we're so badly off for in our world. And I'd like to show this healing power of love by looking at our two readings. Jeremy, if we could have that first one, please, just part of that reading. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. Have you read those words or seen those words before this year at all?
Yes.
You? Fine, I thought some people might have heard them. Could we have the next slide, please, Jeremy? Do you recognize this lovely man? The Episcopal Bishop of Chicago, born in 1953. And just our Archbishop Justin Welby said beforehand that we were going to hear the gospel. And we did. It was absolutely wonderful, and it was really, really exciting. And he read these verses and he said, it's from the Bible. And I thought then, well, it's going to be worth carrying on for the length of his talk. He spoke for 15 minutes and halfway through he said, I'm only supposed to speak for 8. But there we are. I worked out by guesstimating that in my NIV concordance, there are something like 700 words with the basis of love in them. Love, loving, loved. The word love is incredibly important in our scriptures. Why the Song of Songs? Well, Michael Curry selected that to talk at the wedding of Harry and Meghan, and they seemed to be very appropriate at that time. Probably, most likely, the Song of Songs, that relatively short book in the Old Testament, was written by Solomon himself. In fact, Michael referred to the Song of Solomon. And its inclusion in our scriptures is perhaps an indication of God's approval of sexual love. There's power in love, not just in its romantic form, but in any form, in any shape. There's a certain sense in which when we are loved, we know it. When someone cares for us, we know it, we're aware. When we love and we show it, it feels right. There's something right about it. The New Testament says it in this way: Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God, and those who love are born of God and know God. Those who do not love do not know God. Why? Because God is love. Isn't that absolutely fantastic? On one occasion, Jesus was asked by a lawyer to sum up the essence of the teaching of Moses, and he went right back to the early scriptures of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And he said, he was quoting, of course, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Just imagine how this redemptive love would work in our world. How it can bring healing to individuals and can change our sad world. Imagine our homes and families when love is the way. Imagine our community, our neighborhood of Tunbridge, when love is the way. Imagine our government when love is the way. Business and commerce. Just imagine what it would be like if no child were ever to go to bed without a bed, and hungry, and thirsty, and dirty. Parents have died or they've been killed. Just imagine what it must be like for those children who were put in a cage, separated from their parents, on the border of one of the of just about the richest country in the world. Just imagine what it would be like if thousands didn't have to flee the country which they'd been born in and which they'd lived in because of malpractice, fear, war, corruption, and greed. It's important to know, if we look at our second reading, that lovely little reading at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, about the paralytic. It's lovely to know that there were, well, it's not really lovely to know, but there were some onlookers who weren't so pleased about Jesus attracting this great crowd of people. And those teachers of the law were just waiting to pounce. What did Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven. Perhaps the sick man was more concerned with his sins than he was about his disability, his health problem. Most people are more worried about their health than they are about their sins. Perhaps his condition had been caused by sin. We don't know. I suspect if you smoke like a factory chimney, you can expect to get lung cancer at some stage. That if you drive erratically, you will be ill because you have an accident. So this can happen. It can happen that sin can cause illness. But it's a mistake to believe that all sickness is caused by sin. So our little story illustrates how easy it is for Jesus to heal and at the same time forgive. In the Gospels, we read about many people who Jesus met and spoke to, in spite of the fact that they were the kind of people who others wouldn't have spoken to. I always think that story of the woman at the well. She'd gone. She knew what a mess her life was in. And Jesus talked to her. He doodled on the floor by the well, on the ground by the well. Zacchaeus, who was a hated man because of the taxes which he levied. Earlier on in this chapter, the epileptic, the man with leprosy. Folk who were very often forgotten or ignored by their communities. Rosemary and I and one of our daughters have had serious health problems this year. We've received amazing concern and love and treatment in our health service. We thank God for that health service. Many of the people who work in it would probably fail to admit that they were showing love, but they do. I went there a week last Friday to a busy afternoon clinic. It was for the general and the elderly. I was really, really upset because I hadn't read it in the billy-doo that I'd received a couple of weeks beforehand. But Dr. Reynolds, who was in charge of that particular clinic with his doctors, had been called away because there'd been a couple of really nasty accidents in Tunbridge Wells. But we were received there with great, you can only call it love. It was great love. With all these elderly people. I felt quite young because they were all much older than I. There are many in our own fellowship who show the love of God in the way that they help people. We've got all kinds of people. The chaplains, for instance, going into the hospital service and helping people, sometimes, very often, in the last few days of life. And I think it's really, really important that we are a praying community in the fellowship of this church. I believe that we are. I think we need to be a listening community. Rosemary and I have quite a thing about people who talk about themselves and never ask any questions. And there aren't many of them, but there are some. I think it's really vital to listen because this is what Jesus did. When he spoke to the woman at the well, he listened to what she had to say. He knew all about her, but he wanted her to tell him. We never need to feel lonely or depressed if we're prepared to seek help, no matter what the problem is. I do hope that many of you, no matter how you're feeling, you might have a physical injury, it may be somebody in your family who is hurting or is ill, it may be something connected with marriage, it may be a feeling of anxiety. We learnt this morning that a large number of people in our land suffer with loneliness. And I do pray that you will be able to be prayed with a member of our congregation in a few minutes' time. God loves us. God blesses us. May he hold us in those almighty hands of love. Amen.